Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Star Psychics Blog Talk Radio. That's stars with a Z because we're special. I'm Stars Cash and I will be your host for tonight, taking your calls and setting up the reading queue for the second half of our program. This evening we will have another great topic, so please relax and enjoy. After our topic discussion, we will be ready to take your one question mini reading live on the air or in the chat room. For now, on with the show. Hi, this is your host, Stars Cast, as usual every week, also known as Natalie, and I have with me tonight, I have Stars James and Stars Maya. We have people in the chat room also right now, so we hope you'll enjoy the show tonight. We're going to do a continuation of past lives, and, you know, I think we can go on and on with that as we'll listen to my two stars that are with me tonight. And Stars Maya, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone.
Hello, okay, good evening.
Okay, I think you can take it. And Stars James, there, he's there. Okay, you guys, it's the stage belongs to you.
Okay, well, welcome, everyone. This is Stars Maya, and we're so glad to have you all listening again. And as Stars Cast or Natalie said, this is a continuation from last week's show on past lives. As many of our listeners discovered, there is a lot of material to cover, and there's just so much information. I know we discussed a lot, but there's a lot more to discuss. So I'm going to start things off and then pass it to Stars James. He doesn't necessarily have to follow in my footsteps what I feel that I'd like to bring up and talk more deeply and specifically about. So he's certainly free to discuss his ideas or whatever he feels at the forefront. You know, with us being spiritual people, a lot of times, at least for me, you know, of course I'm aware of the subject, but I don't really, like, make note cards and do a lot of planning. I just feel that what needs to be said or what I feel needs to be shared is shared. So what I want to start off with, which we touched a little bit on last time, is the effect that past lives, and we talked about gender. We all had our own ideas of gender, but we all came to the conclusion or the agreement that, yes, it was possible and probably likely that we switched genders. And I had personally said, again, this is Stars Maya, that when dealing with a client, and now I'm talking about a client that is struggling in their life, and they're not aware of where the struggle comes from, but in working with them, I find that one of the problems is they're coming from a life where their gender was different. So as an example, I have a female client, and of course, you know, I'm changing some of the details so that everyone's privacy, if you're a client of mine, your privacy will always be protected with me. It's always between you and I. But I have a client, for example, that's a female, and she's finding herself in situations, work, which can actually be a good thing, but in relationships, that masculine side is taking over. And in the work that I did with her, I discovered and I felt through my guides, which, as I share with everyone, I do believe God has gifted me with this, and that my guides are my teachers and my mentors, and the information is channeled through them. And it's a quick process. It's not like I have to really, in a reading or like in this type of forum, I don't really have to sit and wait for them to answer. It's just an immediate, so it comes from me, but just a little bit of background. But what I helped her to discover is that there was a past life, which I really recommend. Past life readings, I know we have a lot of experts that do them. They can be expensive. You know, I mean, I guess that's subjective on what a person can afford, but they are amazing and they are very, very helpful. So anyway, she was having these blocks and these obstacles, and the discovery made was that it was due to some masculinity or some masculine traits, which we all have, the flora, fauna, we all have the masculine, feminine, but for whatever reason, the most recent past life, the masculine side of her was taking over in a way that was not conducive to a harmonious relationship. Now, had she possibly found, for example, let's say she found a partner who had just come from a female past life and had very feminine qualities, it might work, but she was not attracted to that. So that's an example. A lot of times people, clients will ask me, how much effect does our past life have on our current life? And that's why I'm interested. I'm really excited to hear what Stars James has to say, because I really have mixed feelings on that. I really will have to say that I believe it's a very individual situation. I believe that for some people, their past life, other than they may be here for a specific purpose related, but I mean the memory or the effects of a past life really have no bearing on this current life. They are completely living in the now. They are completely, unless they've been regressed or they've had a past life reading, they are completely oblivious to past lives and the effects. But I have other clients that I feel that's not the case, and I start seeing a pattern, and again, that's doing a past life reading, or even if I'm not doing a per se a total past life reading, snippets will come through that are guiding me so that the client can reach a more harmonious way of life. So for me, it's kind of a mixed situation. I don't feel that for all of us, our past lives are interfering. I'd like to use that word. Are interfering with our current life, but I also feel that there are specific situations and specific individuals which that is the case, that their past life or lives interfere. And I wanted to bring up a show that I had recently watched that I found very fascinating, and I would really highly recommend it for those that are interested in past lives. The name of the show, I'm trying to think of the network, and I'm not sure, but it's probably something like Discovery or the Learning Channel, and it's called The Ghost Inside Me, and it's a reality-type show, and it's based on these young children that remember and have vivid memories, and, I mean, just it gives me the chills talking about it. Stunning details about a past life. And in that situation, especially if they're young, so they haven't been, you know, kind of squashed by society with anything that's outside the box. But there was one show in particular where the child was in the Air Force, and the details that, we're talking about a four-year-old, by the way, the details that this child was able to provide, the parents, you know, of course, at first didn't pay a lot of attention, but they finally started to realize there was something supernatural going on. And, you know, I want to praise them for helping their son, which they did, and they ended up looking up the details. This four-year-old knew the technical name for the jet that he drove, his name, and they were able to fact find and put it together and realize there was no possible way that this child could have had this information. So for him, it was a very difficult and very haunting, which is why it's The Ghost Inside Me, because the prior past life that he had come very quickly, which I feel, and I don't want to, you know, keep talking, but I feel that sometimes can be an issue, is when we come too quickly from a past life and we don't have enough transition time. I do believe that we have some choice in that, but I'm going to let it go at that. And I recommend that show. I think it was a premiere show, so it may not have made it, but it was very fascinating. And I know there's stories out there that you can look up and you can Google. And these are, again, these are young children that are able to provide very, very specific details and things that are not something that would be common to them to see on television, the newspaper, hear from their parents. And neither of their parents, in this case, were involved in the military. So I'm using that kind of as my example of like the worst case scenario where someone's present life is very disrupted and very, very chaotic. He had terrible night terrors. He was until everything was put together and he did finally find peace. So that's an indication where a past life can really affect us, and it's not always positive. Sometimes it can be, but with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn my blabber mouth stop and turn it over to Stars James. Welcome, Stars James. It's always such a pleasure. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for allowing me to join you.
No, that it was wonderful. It's I have not heard of that show, but. It sounds quite intriguing, and I just don't watch much TV, and I think I'm going to look that up. Anyway, you had talked about how much of our past lives influence our present moment, and I think that for me, I do believe that a significant karmic portion of our past life does influence us. However, I don't believe that karma has to control our lives. I don't believe that. We are enslaved to our past. I do believe that we can clear out karma fairly quickly if it's negative karma, and I believe that we never really give up the reality that we have a choice in life, that we can choose differently, and we can choose a different path. I believe that even, and I don't know what your thoughts are, but I also believe that even when I give a psychic reading to someone and the results are not as desirable as they would want them to be, I let them know, well, I'm letting you know the energy and the path that you're on right now, and you can certainly choose differently. You can choose a different path. And, you know, some things are static, but I think that there's more, we have more choice than we have static things that we are destined to experience in a lifetime. So I also believe that we do an assessment on the astral plane or in between lives where we make choices, and a lot of times those choices remain static throughout our lives, that we don't necessarily change those. Because we have made those choices from a higher understanding or a greater understanding, and a lot of times those are related to intrinsic spiritual life lessons that we're learning throughout a lifetime. So that's my take on how much a past life influences us. It was kind of obscure, just because I think that the topic, it being a highly esoteric topic, and we don't have a lot of our own personal memories outside of, you know, maybe some children. Because I have heard a lot of stories where children will remember past lives. But I think that, you know, they don't necessarily influence us on a specific scale. And I think it is from person to person. But I just think that for the most part, it just doesn't influence us as much as...
what you're saying is that free will is the most important factor in living our present day life. Did I understand that correctly?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I don't believe that karma or past, you know, situational experiences from past life or past lives really usurp our free will. And I believe that, you know, the static things that happen in our future are because we've already exerted and expressed our free will in those areas. So.
Okay, Stars James. So you feel, we have similar, but yet they're a little bit different. And I agree that most adults, most people, unless they are deliberately, and I'm sorry, this is Stars Maya. It's just Stars Maya and Stars James tonight. So if it's a female voice, it's Stars Maya. If it's a male voice, it's Stars James. But I agree that I would have to agree with you that the karmic influences, you know, other than some, you know, more specific cases, in general, I would say other than lessons that were going to be learned. And you touched on something that I'd like to go further with, and that is the... I believe you used the word the assessment on the astral plane. Now, I may use different terminology, but but basically I think we're saying the same thing. I do believe that when our body perishes and our spirit leaves our body, I do believe that there is a form of assessment. I mean, you know, we can put a picture to that, whatever we want. We can picture it as sitting before a jury or sitting one-on-one with someone. And I don't think that it's uncomfortable or necessarily cruel or painful. I think it's more of, you know, how you might do a, you know, if you have a job, how they might, you know, go over your progress and say, okay, you're doing great here, but we could see a little bit of improvement in this area. I feel it's a positive experience, and I personally feel that God, as the creator, and we all have different beliefs, and we can incorporate all those beliefs into past lives, but that there's kind of like the final say is the way I see it, but we do have a lot of input on what lesson perhaps did not get learned correctly or fully, or what lesson, you know, we want to continue to learn or we feel we're ready for. Let's say, for example, someone has lived 4 or 5 past lives and they never got to an important lesson that they feel they're now ready to accomplish because they've got the groundwork done. So I feel that we do have a say. So I feel like it's give and take. What about you, Stars James? What can you elaborate a little bit on what you mentioned about the assessment on the astral plane?
Yeah, no, I think that's we're talking about the exact same thing there, where there's a specific intrinsic life lesson, and we haven't quite covered it yet. And, you know, we've made a decision, okay, this lifetime I am going to, you know, totally learn this lesson. And so we make a decision to learn that one intrinsic life lesson. And, you know, I use the term astral plane, and I really don't know specifically when or where that decision's made. My guess is it's in that realm or that frame of mind where we're pretty much connected to the higher self. And we move forward in a specific life lesson, like, you know, like gender issues is a good one, and we're dealing with gender issues, and we may come on in a lifetime and we're dealing with gender issues. And that's a specific, just kind of an example. But I believe that is made, you know, in between lifetimes, and we can't really change those static life lessons. We don't have a lot of choice with those. If our free will has said, okay, no, this is what is going to happen in this lifetime before we incarnate, a lot of times people will incarnate with money issues specifically to overcome them so that they can, you know, so that that's the last time they have to go through that life lesson or, you know, that's another just example that I have. But, yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much we're saying the same thing, just in a little bit of a different way.
Right. I would agree with that, Stars James.
Yeah.
And what about this? Because I find that this comes up a lot in readings and sessions with clients where, and usually it's relationship related, where the person, you know, they may have spoke to another advisor perhaps, but they are continuing in an unhealthy or dysfunctional or non-reciprocating relationship. And they keep talking about karma, and I may feel that there is some karmic energy there, but I wanted to see your take on that. My take on that, again, if we go with the theory, which we both have agreed, and that doesn't mean, you know, to our listeners, that doesn't mean that we're right. Remember, these are just our opinions and what we've learned and experienced in this profession. So there's a lot of different ideas, and if something resonates with you, then you should jump on it, and if it doesn't, then you should seek something that resonates more closely with you. But back to my point is I feel that very often clients will use this karma, and then that ties into the soulmate deal, and they will use that as their reason for continuing to try and put a square peg in a round hole, so to speak. And, you know, and that's one, you know, I don't think we should deny our emotions. I think if we have emotions, we have a connection to someone, that it's okay to validate ourselves and say, I have this connection. It's probably karmic. We probably had past lives. But that brings me up to the free will and choice. What
right.
I believe is, like, for example, I believe, let's say, that two people have been together as soulmates before. Perhaps it was romantic. The agreement between the two people, their soul contract, some people call it, the agreement or the, you know, the idea when they reincarnated was that they were going to meet and they were going to attempt to be together, and it was going to work out and be harmonious. But free will overrode that, because one or the other of those persons went against what was originally planned out. This is, again, just my belief. And that person, instead of staying and working things out and, you know, doing what was best for the relationship as opposed to self-serving, that changes everything. So I feel free will does override karma. And when we find that in a relationship, we have to accept that, and we have to learn to let go, and not just because, you know, we don't stay, like, just this is just an example. You know, let's say we have an abusive partner. I don't care if it's male or female, or we have someone that's, you know, involved heavily in drugs, and they're causing us great distress in our lives. Karma is not no excuse to remain in that type of relationship. So what are your feelings on that, and how often does that come up for you, Stars James?
No, absolutely. I that happens a lot. And, you know, when it comes to those situations, I sometimes people will tell me, well, we've been together 7 lifetimes, and, you know, we agreed to come together in this lifetime. And I go, well, you did, and then you can come together in the next one too. But right now, obviously, it's not working for either of you, you know. And a lot of times if I'm doing a reading for someone, that'll come out right away that, you know, well, you're not very happy in your situation right now. And they'll, oh, no, you know, they'll confirm it and everything. You know, then the conversation comes. But we have karma together. We have past lives together. We're soulmates. And you know, yeah, we can verify all those things. That doesn't necessarily, and especially if there's abuse. Normally, if there's abuse, I'm pretty firm about it. I was like, you need to leave that situation. That's not a good situation for you to be in. But, yeah, you know, I have seen that before, where people get too caught up in this idea of soulmate. And I think that Hollywood has kind of put soulmate on the pedestal, making it kind of the best, you know, type of relationship that there is. And you know, obviously, if you've ever been in a soulmate relationship, you know that there are still obstacles and there are still challenges, and there are, you know, they don't always last for an entire lifetime. And ideally, you know, we always want you know, our romantic situations to be long term. And you know, we have, you know, for the most part, most people that I know have the idea that they're going to find the one that they truly love, grow old with them, and you know, it's just the ideal that we have. But that's just not always the case, because we're dealing with other egos and other personalities and just other humans. So, yeah, and I think that when it comes to abusive relationships specifically, but any kind of relationship that's no longer serving us, it's important to move on, no matter what the past life implications are for that relationship. And if you have had a lot of lifetimes together, just, you know, lovingly let them go this lifetime, knowing that they'll probably show up again. So that's kind of my perspective on it anyway.
Right. I agree with you, Stars James. I agree that, you know, that it's very possible that, you know, they're going to have another chance, another lifetime is going to come up. And I also believe, too, and I try to teach my clients this, and so I wanted to get your input. And, again, this goes back to relationships, karma, and with the soulmate mixed in, where people often feel that if they've met a soulmate, and they feel this overwhelming connection, but yet it's not a harmonious relationship. And by that I mean you know, the other person is not doing their part. So like you said, when you ask about happiness, okay, are you happy most of the time? Are you in distress, anxiety, frustration, anger, hurt? And if you answer, if most of the time this person is causing you distress, then soulmate or not, karma or not, that you need to live, we as humans, we are supposed to live in the now. But what do you feel about, do you feel that it does occur, that karma and, you know, our assessment that we've had, you know, our little judgment or whatever, we've gone over things and we've made a soul contract or an agreement, and do you feel that free will can disrupt that agreement? So let's say that Johnny was supposed to be with Judy, but when they actually met up in life and it was supposed to be a smooth and harmonious, joyful relationship, Johnny went against what was supposed to be and used his free will and did not give what he was supposed to give. Now, do you feel that that's a situation that occurs in life?
Yes, I do. And, you know, and I kind of wanted to, because my last, just with what I was saying before, you know, the whole conversation, I do want to point out, too, I don't think that this means we just give up on difficult relationships. Like, I always, if somebody is really, really struggling in a relationship, you know, and it's not necessarily abuse, it's just, you know, well, we're not happy together or something. I think that people give up on relationships, especially in the Western world, like way too soon. You know, for me, I'm willing to fight for a relationship. So, you know, whether it's a need for therapy or a need to sit down and talk and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Because I really am not satisfied with this experience. I mean, I think that, you know, I always try to tell my clients before, you know, just throwing out, you know, the whole relationship, that it is important to, no matter, and I know this gets off of the past life topic, but I just think it's important to say that you don't, for me, I think it's a relationship is very, very important. And, you know, people do have ups and downs in relationships. And just because you're having a down doesn't mean that the relationship's over. Now, if there's abuse or something, you need to remove yourself from that situation. Absolutely. But, you know, if you're just unhappy in a relationship, from my perspective, is I think that it's important to exhaust all, I mean, we have so many resources available to us in the Western world, yet we have the, you know, the highest divorce rate as well. You know, I think it's important for us to exhaust the resources before we just throw the relationship out. Find the place of dissatisfaction and see if we can change that energy before we just get rid of it. Does that, and I know that was a bit off topic, but I just wanted to say that just because of what I said previously, so.
No, that was not really, no, this is Stars Maya, and I don't feel that was off topic at all. And I 100% agree with you. I think that I'm referring more to situations, for example, where the one or the other is married and has mm-hmm. made no effort and, you know, you know, we'll use a female for an example. You know, the female's already waited 4 years, and the mm-hmm. male is married, has children, and has even gone so far as to say, I'm never going to leave my wife, you know, and the person's response to that is, but they're my soulmate. I don't feel like in that situation, I would not advise my client. At the end of the day, I'm going to say, look, follow your heart.
Right.
This doesn't if my guidance isn't resonating with you, then you need to follow your heart. But in that case, to me, I would feel that, you know, the married person or the person that's not calling, not making any efforts, you know, not doing anything, and there's not really anything to work on. There's nothing solid. When you're mm-hmm. already in a relationship,
right.
I absolutely agree that we definitely, in the Western world, I think we marry much too quickly, and I think mm-hmm. that's the biggest problem. The divorce rate would be, I think, a lot less if we were not so quick to marry. But I do agree with you, and I do feel that it's on topic because that the karma, which ties into me, it's like there's karma, there's soulmate, there's destiny, there's fate. These all seem to be webbed together for a lot of people, and I think that can be dangerous ground because what it does is it allows them or it encourages them often to continue in something that is in my opinion, is dysfunctional or is non-beneficial, non-rewarding. So
yeah.
what's your take on that scenario, Stars Game?
You know, it's interesting that you should bring this up. I don't talk a lot about, because I do get a lot of calls where, and I don't want to just totally say that this is women, but a lot of it is women, where they do recognize, because women are more intuitive, they do recognize that there has been an intimate relationship with an individual in the past. However, that individual is married or they're married. And I can tell you, and, you know, normally I will pick up on that. Normally they don't say anything, and I'll pick up on that right away.
Right.
And,
right.
And I rarely ever have good news for them. I'm surprised I'm not full of bad feedback, you know, on some of the sites that I work, because I rarely ever have good news for them. I don't see that a divorce to have another relationship when there's not – it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about past – you know, what kind of past life connection you have, and it doesn't even really matter if you're soulmates to break up families like that. I just don't – the karmic implication just for that, I don't think it's worth it.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right, and that does happen. That does happen a lot where I have, and I don't know why, but it seems to be women more than men. And like I said, I think it's because women tend to be more intuitive. But, you know, I'll start reading, and that's one of the first things that I pick up on is, okay, which one of you are married? And then I'm going, you know, this is what I'm going to be honest with you. So you can either hang up, find somebody else that, you know, maybe we'll try to go with where you're going. Or, you know, but I rarely ever have good news for them. I think that maybe one time out of 11 years, maybe two times, I can think of one specifically, where they were already going through a divorce when they had met. And even with her, though, I said, you need to back off for right now. You need to, you know, give it some time. And I think she waited 9 months before they even started to pursue a relationship because he needed downtime from his marriage before they could pursue a relationship. And they're happy now. But, you know, that is way the exception in terms of my experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And I also think, Stars James, that the reason why we bring up females is because females are talkers and females are much more open. If you look at the ratio of clients of females to males in, you know, for all of us, we're going to find that there are males out there, and I love when a male is open enough to come and seek guidance. I think it's fabulous.
Right.
But I do feel, in general, females are more, they're more likely to call their friend and disclose their problems, where males, you know, you're a male. I don't think I have to tell you how males work, but, you know, I have a little saying, but I'm afraid it's not G-rated, so I won't be able to share that with the audience. But you can email me, and if you want to hear it, I'll share it with you. But, you know, males and females are wired differently, and females are more willing to reach out for help and talk about and disclose personal information. And what I agree with you, I've had a couple scenarios where it really was a situation, like I'll give you one example, was an arranged marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the marriage was arranged when the female was very young and she had never been happy. She had never had a choice. And in a lot of cultures, this is the norm. And the husband often lives in another country or does a lot of traveling. And the female happened to meet someone. And I did, so there's been a couple times, you know, there are times, it's the exception though,
right,
where I do feel that something's going to happen. But one thing that I tell my clients, which I feel is definitely related to karma, is that if you're involved with someone, whether it's your marriage or their marriage, and you're trying to maintain this triangle or even a square, if they're both sides are married, the toxicity that we go through, when we go through a divorce, even if it's amicable on the outside and both people, aside from any influences from anyone else, it's always some toxic energy that's being released. Because let's face it, we would not divorce someone that we loved and loved us and supported us and that we had, like you said, we had options and we had the choice. So therefore, when a divorce goes into play, there is toxic energy, and that toxic energy is going to, my take on it is, it's going to follow into that new relationship if they're not extremely careful in giving whichever one is married, whatever the situation is, like what you said, I think was a brilliant point. They have to give that a lot of time. It is possible in some situations, again, people do marry for the wrong reasons. I mean, back, I'm going to be 55 this month, so back when I was in high school, for example, if you got pregnant, you got married, period, mm-hmm. end of story. Nowadays, that, of course, isn't true, but that's another scenario where a person was kind of forced into marriage without really being fully, attached to that person in the right way. So that's one thing when you're dealing with these really big obstacles, even overriding the karma, like we've spoken, overriding the karma, the fate, the destiny, and yes, I feel this and I can't help it and all that. You know, frankly, you can help it. We can, and of course I'm never rude or, I'm very empathic to people and their feelings. But the truth of the matter is we can overcome, and the best way to do that is to accept that the karma may be there, but the other pieces aren't because of free will choices that were made, and this is not the right lifetime or this is not the right time, maybe 5 years, maybe three. And so we need to make a choice, and the best choice is to completely disconnect from that person. And if it is this true love that we all want to believe in, and it's this miraculous love story, that person will return on either side, whatever it is. They'll find us again. If we're truly meant to be together and we're making the right choices so that can happen, time has no influence on love, in my opinion. It has absolutely no bearing. So your last thoughts, because we're running over, so we'll go to your last thoughts on anything else you wanted to add tonight, Stars James.
I think the one thing, I was just thinking as you were talking, I was thinking about something that my mentor would say all the time, and I never got it. And then the day that I got it, it just like when it clicked with me, I realized why he was so wise. And he would say, all of this is going to seem very small in light of eternity. Anytime I would have any kind of problem, whether it was relationship or money or anything else, and all of this is going to be very small in light of eternity. And so what doesn't, we have eternal relationship with one another essentially through the unity of the divine. And so the unity that exists within our own divine nature is what I was saying. So, from my perspective, it's like when we, especially the relationship thing, you can get over the feelings right now, but it's not like you're letting them go forever. You may be letting them go for, this lifetime, so another, 40 to 60 years, maybe the next one, so another 80 to 100 years, and, maybe even a third one. But in light of us being eternal conscious beings, you're not letting go of it forever. So, I don't know, that's my perspective on it as well when it comes to those types of issues. So,
okay, and just we'll just briefly wrap it up with, I always let my clients know that we never have just one person. This idea of a twin flame, I want to define it first, and they're defining twin flame is the one person they're going to have these feelings for, and they're never going to feel that for someone else. Hogwash, everyone, hogwash, because universe, God, creator, whatever term you want to use, again, whatever your belief system is, we are not limited in this lifetime. We have limitless potential, not only as human beings and being unified with, the universe and our creator and Mother Earth, but with people as well. So when something doesn't work out, no matter how strong the connection was, how much karma there was, I don't care if you had 180 past lives, if the choices are not right and this is not going to be a harmonious life partner, You will, if you open yourself up to that idea, you will find someone, and the connection and feelings will be just as strong, and the relationship all in all will end up being much higher and better because there will be reciprocation and there will be the lesson that was learned the first time. So do you agree with that, Stars James?
Absolutely. I'm just going to say absolutely to that because, yes, I do agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't, you know, so I guess from both of us, don't get stuck, you know, be willing to say, I love this person, but now is not the time. And like Stars James said, that was a great point. You know, is this going to matter when we look at infinity, or we look at the you know, the limitless opportunities that life after life has and then the spiritual realm has? So with that, we'll go to StarsCast and go ahead and take calls. What a great conversation. I love talking with you, Stars James.
Thank oh, yes, so I loved it.
You guys are so awesome. I had a caller, but she dropped, so maybe she'll come back. I think everybody's probably out shopping. You know, it's that time of the year. I have a question.
Okay.
You know, my husband passed away last year. The two of you feel that he and I had some kind of a contract, correct? In a previous lifetime? Is that how it works? I'm just fishing. I know what it is, but I'm just for the listeners because we have a lot of people in the chat room. So what happens in a situation like that? I mean, did we set up the contract? He wanted it to be this way. Can you explain that?
Who wants to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think that you have a double-edged sword there, Natalie. I feel
okay.
That there was a rule. Okay. So first of all, his demise, and I'm sorry for your loss. I know how painful that had to be for you. That was completely separate, I feel. His contract, I feel that our deaths are something that we aren't aware of consciously, but it's kind of already written in the book, so to speak. So that was completely separate from the relationship. There was a karmic tie, but what I feel is not so much, it was not to me, how do I word this? I don't feel that it was of a high level. I feel that it was supposed to be more of a learning, growing experience, but both of you kind of got off course a little bit, and when you did, it changed the elements and the vibration of the relationship from what maybe started out at a high level, ended up going to a low level, and so I feel like there's a lot of damage in you, and that's because this you were supposed to walk away from this with lessons learned and seeing that there was karma, and yes, there was a soul contract. I definitely do feel that you were to be together, but I don't feel that either of you, to be honest, and I always am honest, I don't think either of you lived up to what was originally agreed upon, and I think that's what caused I get a lot of damage, and when I get damaged, like I'm shown broken tiles, so I get a lot of broken pieces, a lot of fragmentation of the relationship, a lot of roles that were not clearly defined or were out of balance and out of harmony and not able to be shifted and moved as we grow and we age and we mature, as we change as people, our roles in our relationships and in life change. And I feel there was rigidity and stiffness. And so I feel like, and I hate to use this word, but since it's you, I will. But I feel like there was a little bit of failure on both parts on what was the potential that could have been versus the outcome. So I'll leave it at that and see what Stars James has to say.
Okay. Well, regarding your question in terms of a general, I don't think that all relationships have to be a soul contract, although with your relationship, I do believe it was a soul contract, that there was an agreement to come together in this lifetime. What I sensed about the situation, and I know we actually talked about this a little bit before, but what I sensed about the situation is that, some of what, I didn't catch all of what Stars Maya, in terms of what I was feeling, I didn't catch all of what Stars Maya was saying, but I do think that the foundations were almost shaken of that soul contract or that agreement that you had, where the agreement was supposed to go a particular way, and I of course it is our own free will that shakes it a little bit, but I sense that there were other things that kind of shook up that situation for you, and then of course him dying, and that part of the whole situation was. Trying to think of the best way to say this without I almost think that he did pass away without fulfilling the contract, that there was not a fulfillment.
I agree.
Of it. Yeah.
I agree.
And
he was my teacher, actually. I mean, he was a teacher, mm-hmm. but he, from the beginning, he taught me. He taught me how to drive. He taught me how to use the computer. I mean, if he's watching me now, he's thinking, oh, my God, she just has hit the roof with all this.
Mm-hmm.
But he really did. He mm-hmm. could teach you anything. And I think, and that's what he did for me. You know, he taught me about how to do things. I was an only child, and home alone all the time. And then, but I don't know. I don't really kind of understand about. I feel that it is a contract. It's time. If your name is on the page in the book, it's time.
Right.
Right. But I don't know what else he could have done to fulfill his end of the obligation. And as far as me, I mean, I think I handled it very well. I mean, if you knew what I went through,
mm-hmm.
I was here for him for all the whole time. So
right.
I don't know. I mean, is there, I'm sure he chose, he must have chose to end this way. I mean, to move to another level. And we could talk about even passing, because that's very interesting to me, I think. Maybe that'll be a topic of what actually happens, the levels that you go to. And, when you leave somebody on Earth, the question in my mind is always, did I do enough for him?
Mm-hmm.
I was very safe with him. He did give me that.
Right.
When in the beginning, maybe not the last 4 or 5 years, but prior to that, I mean, he didn't miss a beat. I mean,
right.
And so now I don't have that at all. So, and as Stars Maya said, it's very painful. To have to thank goodness I have all of you and what I do, but is that making sense to you, either one of you? I mean, I'm trying to understand, I guess. I mean, I know everybody does a contract, and when you agree to do it this way, right? Is that correct, Maya?
I don't believe that every. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear you, but I got disconnected. Can you all hear me again?
I can hear you just
yes,
fine.
Yes, I put you back on mic.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
I saw you drop.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So this was his contract. This was exactly what he was supposed to do.
Yes, yes.
His relationship with me.
In the
okay.
relationship with you, although I just what I was sensing is that there was supposed to be more in your manifestation, that the fullness of the evolution that you had planned with him didn't come to fruition, and it's not a bad thing, because we get more chances than just this one time, but I think it was supposed to evolve even greater than just him being your teacher. There was another level that I believe that maybe, and I think that you both did exactly what you were supposed to do with the resources that you had, or you did exactly what you could do with the resources that you had. And that's why when I sensed that at one point, and I think that, and I don't remember, did he have dementia?
Oh, he had Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's,
it was
okay.
Worse.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 It started, you start losing your memory, but it really, it goes to a whole different depth when they have Alzheimer's. I mean, the kind that he had. I mean, there are different types where, and the neurologist and I talked that you can, you, a lot of times you see people are very quiet and calm. He was totally the opposite. Nothing worked on him. Nothing kept him calm. So, and I know he didn't like it. I mean, I know he was struggling from within. He didn't like it. He didn't even know who I was.
Right.
What I'd like to say, if I might, Natalie, for some reason I got disconnected, so I missed a little bit of what James said, but I feel that the contract, you know, it's like any contract. Let's say that it's written a certain way, and the majority of it was filled, but there were enough missing pieces that did not get unified in that contract. And I will give you an example. A good teacher, and I agree with you, I do feel that he, part of the contract or part of the lessons for you to give each other were, you know, he was to teach you. But if we think about what a really good teacher is, and you probably remember, I don't know about Stars James, but I'm sure, Natalie, you remember the wonderful movie with To Sir with Love.
Yes.
Sidney Poitier. Okay. So if we think of a really good teacher in any aspect in life, a teacher gives us knowledge and a thirst for learning. But when they send us out, we should be empowered and we should be very confident, and we shouldn't have, because with you, even though you are confident and you do have a lot of stellar qualities, you still have this little piece missing. So I feel that what your husband may have done is that he may have, what started out as teaching became a little bit controlling. And then when we go to the end, to his death, and this is very human. We all do this, so I'm not making light in any way. I could not imagine to go through. But you're still feeling the emotions. And the problem when we deal with a death that's like that, where we have someone that has dementia or Alzheimer's, is we really get no thanks, no gratitude, because the person is not themselves. They're not able to. It's not like someone, for example, that has cancer that can, you know, verbally say thank you and squeeze our hand and say all that you did for me. So, you know, he taught you, but I don't feel that he freed you like he was supposed to. He was supposed to teach you and free you. And by free you, I don't mean free you from the marriage. I mean free you in life to go on. And I don't feel that he accomplished that. And at the end,
you know why?
Says,
I mean, what happens? What happens with that? Why? Why isn't it completed? I mean, what?
Because okay, it's complicated. It's not like a one-word answer. But I can give you a shot. Part of it was you instead of seeing him still as a husband and a teacher, you also veered off the contract in what I get, and you saw him as a parental figure because you didn't have what you needed growing up, and so you shifted the roles. And when you both shifted the roles, it shifted the contract, and ultimately, I don't think it served your higher good. And then when he left, in your mind, death is an emotional experience. It takes us a long time after the death of a spouse or a child, especially, to be able to see it from a logical perspective, and you're still in that emotional state. To you, it was the abandonment and the de-appreciation which you got growing up. You didn't feel noticed, appreciated, or really cared for. You felt neglected. And so with your husband, when he got this disease, you've never gotten touch, I don't feel, with some of, and it's a natural part of the grieving process. It's a 5-step process with the anger and with the feeling of he abandoned you. And so during that time, you took on a martyr persona. And whenever we take on a martyr persona in caring for someone that most people couldn't care for and shouldn't care for, we carry that burden that is a burden, and again, that goes off the contract, because humans are not martyrs. Angels are, and perhaps
yeah.
God is, Buddha. And so I think both of you, as the marriage developed, it started out with a lot of great things, and I'm not trying to say it was a bad marriage or he was a bad person or you were, but you're asking for an explanation, and that's what I'm being shown. So at, the more we veer off, I mean, it's just like if we're driving and instead of going the way Google tells us our GPS, we decide we're going to take side roads. Well, sometimes that works. Sometimes
right.
what happens
exactly.
is the side road goes to that side road, and that's how I kind of see your marriage. And then his death came, and since he didn't give you the empowerment that a good teacher should have given you, yes, he taught you a lot, but he left out the empowerment and the confidence. You can do this. You know, I've taught you. I don't feel that you got that from him. So he left you, and he left you, you know, under very, very stressful circumstances. And in your way, in your emotional, again, I'm talking emotions. I'm not talking logic. In your emotional being, those years that you cared for him, you may not have been consciously aware of it, but you were seeking some type of reward or some type of way of not feeling this pain and this loss and being prepared to be in the outside world. And unfortunately, we don't get that from being martyrs. And and I do feel that's a female trait more so than a male trait. I'm not sure what Stars James thinks about that, but I feel that as females we easily fall into that role, and you know, so it's just bad. So I feel that you have kind of gotten stuck in the grieving process, and once you complete those steps, I feel that you will be free. Because you never feel completely free to me. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you?
No, that's true. I mean, and being faced with what I was faced with, and we could do a topic on that. When it's abusive, you remember that, and then you try to go slip back to the years before. Oh, I had such good times, and then it's kind of a mishmash. Because those good times were so far away, and you get afraid that this is what it's going to be, you know. So I mean, I'm working through it, you know. It's only going to be going on 2 years in April, and I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy if I have any, because it's true, we didn't get to say anything to each other. We never talked about dying, you know. I thought he was going to come home, you know. But I think he chose to do this. I think if he could see what my son and I were going through, especially for me, because I was home all the time and didn't go anywhere, I don't think he would have liked it. Not when he was like he was in the beginning, you know. I mean, he was a tender, kind man, very kind, very giving. And it's a difficult thing. And of course, it happens to everybody in different ways. And you know, I don't know if you have anything to say, Stars James. We're about to end this, and I didn't mean to bring up, but I thought with past lives, it kind of had bearing that I'd really like to know
right.
what the contract was. Why do things play out like that? And you answered it, Maya, by saying we veered off course, you know, but is it a choice? Is it something that we do, we think about? I don't think it is. I think it just happens. What do you think, Stars James?
Well, yeah, you know, I really liked what Stars Maya had to say, and I think that was kind of what when I brought up too the Alzheimer's or the, you know, I the dementia, you know, I think that too was almost a way, I don't want to say to fulfill the contract, but almost to, I know it was a horrible thing, but it was almost to equalize the energy or to balance out the, the energy. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it's almost like it was a way to almost liberate you as well, that you wouldn't have to be reliant, that you had to be independent. Because I think, when I was getting the foundations, that it was supposed to be, foundationally it was supposed to be so that he could teach you, but then, of course, to gain your independence. And I loved how she articulated that you could gain your independence that way. And
but
what
I never
was
really got it.
And you never really got it, and you were kind of forced into independence through his illness. You have to take care of the situation. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're both right. That I was taught a lot, but I was never given, student, now you can go and do this. It was like, then it became a controlling kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Oh, we could talk about this for hours and hours, but I want to thank you both. It's 8 o'clock right now, and I'm sorry. We had one caller, but she disappeared. Next week we are going to talk about spiritual sacraments, I believe. Is that right, my two stars?
Well, let's see. I have it right here, I think, where it says what you were going to call it. Let me look, because it was another word that you used.
What did you use, Stars James?
Was it me that used it?
Yeah, because you wanted to talk about sacraments, but you had another term with it, I think. Because I'll post that right away.
Spiritual practices is
practices,
what I got.
Yeah, is that what we want?
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think that sounds better, because sacrament, to me, I always think of the Catholic Church, and I'm not really right.
And wearing the scapula and all. No, you're right. I agree. But this has been very great as usual. The two of you really feed off of each other very well. Of course, we didn't have Stars Caitlin Clare tonight. Hopefully next week. And our Stars Morning Star has been in the chat room. And also, I have to tell you who else is there, because I like to give recognition. We have Stars Psychic Priestess Candy. We have Stars Cindy Lee, Stars Morning Star, and we had Stars Joshua there. So it's really great. I would like more callers, and hopefully we'll get more. But it's the time of the year. People are out and about having a good time and all that kind of good stuff. But we'll be here next week again, and we'll do our talk on spiritual practices. And I thank you both, and I love you both very dearly. It's always good. I love listening to you both, all of you, as a matter of fact. So thank you again. Have a good evening, and we will see everybody next week.
Okay, love you.
Talk to you soon. Love you too.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.